T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, Clint, as the Texans get ready to play the Colts here at NRG on Sunday, we'll be out there, and it looks like some of their main pieces will also be out there, which we were concerned about. Brandon Cook, starting wide receiver, and their best option offensively. Chris Conley, starting wide receiver. And Terrence Mitchell, their best corner. Those three starters returned to practice. They had illnesses. If you remember Wednesday, they completely canceled practice due to several players having illness. And then yesterday, those three also missed practice, along with David Johnson. But those three will be back. David Johnson, Clint, is still out with an illness. He didn't practice. And then this just coming in the last 5 to 10 minutes, Clint, Texans rookie defensive tackle Roy Lopez is now listed on the injury report with an illness. So I want to get out to be thought that none of these are believed to be COVID-connected illnesses. But hopefully those three are back. But Roy Lopez, the latest, him and David Johnson, are on the injury report listed with illness.
Well, luckily the defensive line is the deepest position group on the football team. So from a game perspective, you may miss Roy Lopez a bit, but you got plenty of quality bodies at that defensive line position to fill it. So hopefully, knock on wood, hopefully it's not COVID. Hopefully he gets back and everything's good. But if he does miss the game, I think you got adequate backups that can start and adequate depth there that can fill that void. I think the biggest thing here with all these illnesses with the Texans this week is the biggest thing was the receiver position was in trouble just from a sheer number standpoint. And to hear that Chris Conley and Brandon Cooks are back at practice today, I think is big just from a sheer number standpoint. And I don't know that those guys are going to be on a snap count, come Sunday or not. I don't know how bad the illness was or wasn't. But ultimately, the receiver room appears to at least have the bodies in place to be able to go out there and take the field and not have to go complete backups across the board, complete young receivers with very little experience across the board, a couple of them which we've never even seen in a real game for the Texans. It looks like they're going to be okay with their veterans. So good to have those guys back. The other one, the name that sticks out is David Johnson, right? For whatever reason, this regime feels like David Johnson is a feature back on this offense. He's the guy that they're going to feature no matter how well he does or doesn't perform in the previous games. He's going to be a big part of this offense. Well, now that he's missed, everybody missed Wednesday. He also missed Thursday and Friday. It's hard for me to see him playing on Sunday after missing all week of practice. And so we may get from Tim Kelly and David Culley and this offensive staff, we may get what I think everybody's been wanting, which is to see a back other than David Johnson, which would be Royce Freeman at this point in time, which I think key there is that everybody wants to see a back other than David Johnson. Doesn't matter what the guy's name is, just other than David Johnson. And I think Royce Freeman may bring a little bit of excitement there in terms of getting to see him for the first time. In my opinion, Rex Burkhead has been the guy for about a month now that I think if you just watch the games, if you just watch the film, Burkhead is the best option at the running back position for the Houston Texans. And, Joe, I'll add, he does everything if you broke all these running backs down, if you were forced to have them all on your roster, so you can't cut any of them, if you're forced to have them all on your roster, David Johnson and Rex Burkhead do very similar things. Third down back, catch the ball in the backfield well, pass protect well, can be three down backs if you need them to be. Rex Burkhead, he's going to get the bulk of the carries, which I've been asking for a couple of weeks now. And we're going to see a new face, I would expect, Royce Freeman.
You would hope so. You would hope so. Like, you would hope they would look at this and say, all right, in this rebuilding type season, us at 2-9, it is clear, like, it's Friday. David Johnson hadn't been able to come to practice all week. This is a chance for us to see something in Royce Freeman. Right, we claimed him off waivers for a reason. We felt like he was somebody we wanted to pick up and bring on the team, and we felt good about, you know, trading Phillip Lindsay, I would think, because you have him. So this to me seems like a good chance to see in game action what you have from Royce Freeman, because he could be at his age in the 25, he could be a guy of the future, could be a guy not like a huge starter, but a guy that is here in the next two or three years that could be a part in some fashion of your team. So I would hope that would be the thought for them. Real quick, the other part with Roy Lopez, we've heard Lovie Smith, the defensive coordinator, say he feels like Roy Lopez may be the best guy against the run. They do have Jonathan Taylor coming to town, who averages nearly 6, you know, yards a carry at this point and been the best back in the league this year. So with him coming to town, that would be a tough loss, who potentially may be your best run guy up front. Although, of any position group on the defensive side of the ball, you had to lose, I think, defensive lineman is the one, as you said, they had.
Yeah, look, I like Roy Lopez, but if Roy Lopez, being a sixth-round pick, has already established himself to be
he's
established himself to be a starter, but if he's come in and he's in the gap between him and Jahlil Johnson, his backup, who's been around in the game for a while, if that gap is so significant to where we go into the Indy game, we're like, oh my gosh, we don't have Roy Lopez, we're not going to be able to stop the run, then damn, Roy Lopez is good.
Well,
I know he's good. I mean, I trust, I mean, there's two guys in Houston that I trust as much, if not more, than anybody out there in terms of former players. And Seth Payne's one of them. I mean, Wade Smith's another one. They both have rant and raved about it. And I agree, he's played well. And I trust those two guys, their evaluation of players, especially in the trenches. But I don't look at what I've heard and what I've watched from Roy Lopez and go, boy, his backup is just head over heels a downgrade. You know, I mean, he's a sixth-round pick. He's been surprising. He's done well. But Jahlil Johnson should be able to fill his shoes.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, we talked about this yesterday, and I don't think our guard was up too much. But this is coming out again from our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB insider, John Heyman. This remains a mystery, he reports. No one has responded why Verlander's deal wasn't made official. MLB Trade Rumors points out that Verlander isn't listed on the Astros roster on MLB.com, so the great pitcher remains to be a free agent. Is this by the day and more as it gets reported? Like, this is becoming weird. And then Heyman is reaching out and nobody can tell him or has responded on why it's not been made official. What's been the hangup? This is weird. Like, I still don't think that Verlander's not going to pitch for them, but this is a strange situation right now.
Oh, it's strange, and we've got plenty of time to speculate, as everybody's doing now.
Yeah.
Speculating that the Astros found an injury, or, you know, nobody knows anything. This could have been just a simple, they didn't have a sense of urgency with the paperwork that they probably should have had, or it could be as significant as the Astros doctors found something and Verlander's not 100% healthy. And so who knows? And unfortunately, we've got an extended period of time here to speculate on it. I'm sure this won't be the first time it's brought up.
No, yeah, just odd situation there. We'll keep our eyes on that. Justin Verlander, as John Heyman said, no one's responded on why this deal wasn't done, and he remains technically a free agent. Nothing can be done until the CBA is agreed upon.
Big 3-3.
All right, we had a big Thursday night football game last night, and the Cowboys won 27-17. And Clint, Taysom Hill was the starter last night for Sean. Sean Payton last night in the Saints.
Yeah.
And he struggled mightily at quarterback. He had an injury. They've come out with the finger injury. He had a foot injury. Had some guys out. With all of that going against them, like, should this charade be over with trying to make him a quarterback?
Yes.
This thought?
Absolutely. I mean, Sean Payton does a really good job with him as a hybrid back, as a Swiss Army knife, and throwing him in there at the quarterback position, and he has a threat to throw the ball, but we all know he's probably going to run it, and he runs it really, really well. Did he end up with over 100 yards last night? I know at some point he had 90-something yards. Yeah. I don't know if he ended up over 100. There's no question. I admire and respect the way he runs the football and the threat that he brings, the weapon that he is.
Just that throwing thing.
It's just when you line him up at quarterback every single down in the NFL, everybody knows that you can load the box to stop the run in until the situation tells you not to, but you load the box, you stop the run, you take that part away. He just doesn't have the ability to throw the football technically and mechanically sound enough to consistently threaten an NFL defense and damn sure on anything mid-range and beyond in the game. And so, I think it's over. I think it should be over. I think the best way for the Texans to win game is some kind of combination of a polished pocket passer with the Swiss Army knife thrown in there from time to time in a timely fashion, but doing things and consistent. And the game of football the good defenses are going to force you to win left-handed. And when your left hand is very below average, you're not going to win football games. I mean, the Cowboys tried to give the Saints every opportunity to win that ball game last night. Multiple possessions that the Cowboys should have – I mean, that the Saints never had. They had them late. Down the stretch, there were so many different times where the Cowboys were gambling to stop the run, and there was throwing the ocean touchdowns behind the secondary, and he missed it. In my opinion, I don't think it ever was here, but it's definitely come and gone. Taysom Hill is not a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, they've got to stop this. You said make people play left-handed. Well, they're just playing with one arm because he doesn't even have a left hand at this point. Like, in terms of throwing the football, and he's injured. Come on, man, they should have brought in Trevor Siemian, in my opinion.
Maybe
maybe giving themselves a real chance to win the game. All right, tomorrow's a huge, huge day in college football. I am going to be rocking and rolling, locked in all day long watching these games. The SEC championship game is the biggest game of the day. Peter Burns will be in Atlanta covering that. Peter Burns of the SEC Network joins us. We'll see if he gives Alabama a real shot in this game against the overwhelming number one team in the country, Georgia Bulldogs. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
A big college football weekend. I know Clint's going to be fired up as I am. It's championship week. And the biggest game.
I get fired up for the weekend.
I know you.
We just happen to have a little football this weekend to take it to a whole nother level,
baby.
Hell, you
do. This college football is going to take you to another level. It's championship week. And the biggest game is number one versus number three in Atlanta at the SEC championship. It's Georgia, Alabama. And Peter Burns of the SEC Network is going to be covering that. And I cannot believe I'm going to say this, Peter. Does Alabama have a shot in this game coming up? Can Alabama win this game?
How crazy is that, right? It's been, 92 games since the last time Alabama was not a favorite going into the game. That's just
– Really?
That's nuts. Yeah, and I mean, it's just – it's amazing to me when you look at – you know, we just think that, you know, Nick Saban, Alabama teams are unbeatable. They damn near have been, right? I mean, last year they didn't lose a game. And, you know, even this year they were left for dead in the Iron Bowl. And sure enough, Bryce Young has that Heisman moment, take them 98 yards, and they end up winning in quadruple overtime. So, I mean, again, and honestly, guys, there's no reason in hell on paper that Georgia shouldn't be honestly, 13 to 14 point favorite. Wow. But it's because it's Bama, and there's this mental aspect that Georgia hasn't been able to get over Alabama, especially in this stadium that we're at right now.
PB, how much of it had to do with the Alabama-Auburn game last week, the Iron Bowl? I mean, when you watch that game, I don't know that we had seen Evan Neal, the offensive tackle, just struggle for literally all but about a minute 20-something of the game, right? I don't know that we had seen Bryce Young just look average, to be quite frank. I mean, obviously he's missing a receiver, and so that'll make a quarterback look a little more average. But we hadn't seen that. And Auburn, unranked football team, was able to show the world that, hey, Alabama was vulnerable. How much of what we're seeing coming into this game has to do with the fact that Alabama was vulnerable last week and showed us all that it was true?
Well, hell, Dirty Red, go back to your team. Arkansas gave them a run for their money. LSU gave Alabama a run for their money, right? So, I mean, you know, it's just weird to see Alabama in one-score games. Like, I say it, you know, I'm married a diehard Alabama fan, and we joke around in the household about, like, it's not fun to be an Alabama fan because you're doing your laundry, you know, in the third quarter because there's never a close game, right? And now they are. And I think that's one of the reasons why Alabama is not a 10-point or 14-point underdog, which they probably should be, is because they are battle-tested, right? And I thought it was very interesting this week that Nick Saban, or in his post-game press conference right after they won the Iron Bowl, with CBS, Jamie Erdahl had asked him, like, what'd you say to the guys at half? And he said, let's just go out and have fun. Like, I don't worry about it. Don't try to be perfect. Like, let's just go play ball. Like, you guys, like, let's – this is fun, man. This is, you'll remember this game regardless of what happens if you win or lose, but let's just go have fun. And all of a sudden, man, they started playing looser, and that's why you saw that great comeback in the fourth quarter. And I think that's what Georgia fans are worried about. Like, if this was old, angry, you know, Scrooge McDuck, Nick Saban, they would be like, oh, yeah, we got him. But the fact now that Nick can go in there to his team and just be like, guys, let's just go out and have a little fun. Let's roll the ball out and see what happens. Nobody's giving you a chance. If they can tap into that's why people think Alabama has a chance in this game.
Peter Burns of the SEC Network joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. PB, nobody covers the game like you do. I mean, being a host, hell, you're in on damn near every show. You and Dari Noka. I don't know when you guys sleep, but but PB, what's up with the new Saban, man? I mean, because you mentioned it twice in that last little spiel you had there. I mean, what's up with this new Saban? I mean, he seems to be a lot happier, a lot more lenient, a lot more willing to accept kids being kids and kids making mistakes. And that's not the Saban we know, man. What's up with the change?
I think it's two things, Clint. I think one thing is that post-pandemic, I think, you know, and him missing a couple of games because, you know, didn't coach in the Iron Bowl last year because he had COVID. And I think it's taken him a step back and be like, listen, man, we think all of this stuff is life, is life and death. It may feel that way in the SEC, but it's not. Like, he saw firsthand, especially the state of Alabama that is ravaged like the rest of the country due to this thing, that he's like, sometimes we put this thing too much on a pedestal. And I think that's part of it. And the other part of it is I think Nick knows exactly what this team is, which is a good team, which is above average team, not a traditional Alabama standard team. And I think that's why he went on his rant a couple of weeks ago saying, oh, you know, the Alabama fans are spoiled and nobody's giving this team respect, because he knows, listen, man, these guys are trying hard. They're just not as good as the traditional Alabama gold standard that they've had, especially they weren't nearly as good as 2020's team was.
All right, Peter, so that's interesting. So they're not as good. So because I was wondering, because many people around here want to believe this is true. Is Bill O'Brien ruining this offense, or what's going on with the offense? Because they certainly, especially against Auburn, didn't look like the Alabama offense we've been grown accustomed to seeing, even this year.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, listen, I would doubt heavily if Bill O'Brien still calling offensive plays for Saban next year. It might be kind of a parting of both coaches that decide, hey, listen, let's just go different directions. But I think the only issue I've had with Bill O'Brien's play calling is that I am shocked, and maybe they're saving it, guys. I am shocked they haven't used Bryce Young as more of a runner this year. And the fact of why haven't you used him more like a guy that can get out of the pocket, more like a kind of Lamar Jackson, more of a guy, because Bryce can do it, man. He's got some wiggle to him. But, you know, Bryce, they really worked in his career early to say, don't run the ball. Like, stay in the pocket and try to become a passer. And I think Alabama fans want Bill O'Brien to say, open this puppy up. Like, get some RPOs going. And you're going against a great defense. You have to move the pocket because there's no way, especially with Evan Neal and that offensive line struggling, there's no way in hell that you're going to sit there for 4 seconds against this Georgia Bulldog defense right now that's just rabid junkyard dogs and expect you're going to have success. So O'Brien has to open up the playbook, and it starts with using Bryce Young's legs.
PB, if you think Bill O'Brien's been holding back this season to use Bryce Young's legs in this championship, he held back his last 3 years in Houston with Deshaun Watson. We've been asking the same thing for Deshaun Watson. So Alabama's dealing with the same problem that we did down here in Houston.
And that's interesting you say that, Peter. Why do you think this is one and done potentially for Bill O'Brien? Has that not been a marriage that's worked?
I mean, I think it's been an okay marriage. It's more kind of an arranged marriage at that point, just because of former, you know, relationships that they've had. And frankly, you know, Nick needed an offensive coordinator, and Bill went to the Nick Saban school of coaching rehab for wayward souls, right? And so it gave Bill an opportunity to get back into the college game. And Nick needed somebody that he can trust. And what's interesting is that Alabama doesn't run a Bill O'Brien offense. Bill O'Brien learned the Alabama offense. That's why Bama has so much success every single year, is that all these new offensive coordinators, even Mike Locksley, Lane Kiffin, all these guys, they come in and they learn what Alabama does, and they put in a small wrinkle. I just ultimately think that, you know, O'Brien, whether or not be a regular college job that comes available, I just think that this will be the last game, because I do think Georgia wins handily. It'll probably be the last game outside of maybe a bowl game that he calls plays for the Tide.
All right, PB, you got a little LSU blood, a little Southern Louisiana blood in you, man. I know you probably saw on social media where I've been pretty critical of Brian Kelly and the way he bounced up out of Notre Dame, man. Just your overall thoughts on how he left Notre Dame and what you think will happen at LSU down in Death Valley with Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? I mean, I don't think in today's world where the transfer portal is open, where, you know, an athlete can put their name in the transfer portal at 11 p.m. after a game, that I'm even worried how coaches leave anymore. I mean, like, do I really believe Lincoln Riley went to sleep one day, woke up 4 hours later and says, oh, let me just move all the way to USC without telling anybody? Like, come on, man. Like, we might have been born at night, Sterner, but we weren't born last night. Like, these coaches know to a certain extent. I mean, listen, LSU needed this. They needed some stability, and they're going to get it out of Brian Kelly, who continues to build 10-win teams. The problem is he doesn't have SEC talent. And now he looks at it, and they've got the talent base around the state of Louisiana. So, again, I, when they fired Ogeron on the 17th of October, I came on my show and I said, make Brian Kelly say no. That's the first call that I would make. Now, I'm sure as hell they weren't actually listening to me, but, you know, blind squirrel found a nut. And sure enough, they got Brian Kelly. He just needs to find a new accent. I don't know. Have y'all played that clip of him?
It's coming.
Oh, yeah.
PB, I've dealt with the accent conversation and comments my entire life. It struck me as – I watched it multiple times, and it struck me as just a guy that, like, I thought he was trying to slow down – because he was on the mic in that environment. That now, after I was made aware, I went back and listened to it. I understood what everybody was talking about, but I missed it at first.
Yeah, it's, you know, talking about being not a tiger, but a tiger. And that's how we say it in down south. Like, you're an LSU tiger. Go Tigers, right? Like, it's A-H, not E-R-S, on how they say tigers down there. But the fact that he goes, my family, it was funny. But here's the chaos. Here's the soap opera that you signed up for, right? Like, Notre Dame media probably wasn't going to give you hell about that. But now you're hated by college football fans. You're hated by everybody not named LSU. And you know, hey, you wanted to be in the conference where it just means more? Well, buddy, it just means more in this conference. Buckle up because you about to experience it right off the bat.
All right, Peter, man, thank you so much for joining us. By the way, I got Alabama tomorrow. I'm gonna go with Nick Saban and the better quarterback, but I got Alabama tomorrow, so it'll be a fun game, and I know you'll enjoy it. So good luck and have fun covering that thing.
34-17 dogs. I think that's the final score. Later, boys.
All right, that's Peter Burns is probably right on that he'll be covering the game. Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah, man. It's the Georgia Bulldogs, man.
No, that wasn't. That was the Washington Huskies, I think.
Tyler, you need to be out there paying big money for an Alabama win. That would make A&M's one bright spot this year.
That'd be huge for them, boy.
Even bigger.
Huge for them, baby. Yeah. Huge for them. All right, coming up, it doesn't stop there. A big weekend in college and a big weekend in the NFL. The playmaker, Michael Irvin, joins us coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, as we get ready for Sunday on a Football Friday, we are happy to be joined on the line by our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 NFL insider, Michael Irvin. Insider calls are sponsored by the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Turn your football picks into $10,000. Enter now by texting PICKS to 20357. That's PICKS to 20357. Playmaker, I appreciate you joining us. I got to know, man, what was going on in the fourth quarter? You had a passionate conversation with Dak Prescott on the sideline. What was that about?
Well, you know, Dak, he's such a perfectionist. He wants to play the perfect game, and he's such a hard worker. I was on the sideline because I had heard people, guys had told me that Dak was really upset with his play, even though Dallas had gotten the win. And I just wanted, you know, Dak's always been, he's always been good about listening and trying to take in any information to help lead his team. And I told him, you know, I've been in those spots. And I said, Dak, listen, I know you're upset about your play. I said, but the reality is, three of the last 4 weeks have been down weeks where everybody in the locker room was talking about, oh, we let the game get away. I said, right now, you got to win. And I said, Dak, as a leader, right now, the locker room needs to feel good. So even though you're disappointed, don't let that get in the locker room and take away the feel-good moment that the team needs for the next, I don't know, 10, 12 days before they play another game. I think it was important for them to try to get, as a team, to try to get back to the feeling they had at the beginning of the season as we go down the stretch of the season. That's what I talked to them about.
Mike, I'm glad you got him in good spirits because I need you to shoot me straight here now. What they did late in the fourth quarter now with throwing the football up 10, under 6 minutes left, drop being aggressive.
Blows my mind. You run the ball and you get first down, you get 5 yards on the first down. And then the next two downs, when you're up 10 with 5 minutes left, you throw the ball and they were passes that obviously became incomplete and the clock stopped running. Yeah, that, you know, I said earlier in the season when they were making bad decisions like that as I'm talking about as a staff, when you make those bad decisions, I said, okay. You won the game, so we shouldn't even focus on it. But now after you lose a few games and these games become closer, now you got to look at that and say, come on, man, you got to make better decisions right there. So I'm absolutely with you on that.
Mike, I want to ask you a question on that, though, because to me, this is where Dak has to go. If we're being honest, like this is where Dak has to go. I want you to take me back to the early mid 90s. All right, and you're in that situation, and you're in the huddle, and Troy Aikman, Ernie Zampezi, or whoever the hell was Norv Turner, whoever the hell was over there giving him plays, calls in an aggressive pass play. In that moment, what does Troy do?
Uh,
Come on, playmaker. What's he do?
You know what's so funny, dog? Because I can sit here and say, oh, man, yeah, Troy Jake's out of that call, all of that, because I'm on the outside assessing it. But if I was in that huddle and he called 262, and I know that's a slant to me, I'm like, hey, let's get this ball. Let's get this pass. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting like, man, y'all can't be – come on, man, y'all got to be better than that. But I'm on the field now. He's like, hey, okay. Well, yeah, okay, let's go. We're going to make this play. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that trips me out. Because you know the right thing to do, and I understand what you're saying. Dak got to say, all right, no. We're gonna check to a run no matter what. I'm calling these plays. We're checking to a run, and let's go with it no matter what's coming in from the sideline. That's what Tom Brady would do. That's what the greats would do. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah. When you asked the question, I was like, it was easy before you put me on the field. I could answer that question. No problem.
You're on the field, yeah. Let me hold that slant, though.
Now, you're right. Now you know, put me on the field with a slant route. Dude, throw it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it.
The hell so, with Emmitt.
You know what I'm saying? Right. I totally understand. We should stop this right here. Hand the ball off. Let's run this 45 seconds. I'll get us a timeout out of these jokers. Either one of them is bringing the game closer to us. Let's do what we got to do. But when I'm in it, I got it. Just put it. I got it. I got it. I'm in the huddle. I'm telling all my guys, just give them the time. I got it. Don't worry. When I know I should say, just hand the ball to Emmitt, Troy.
Give it to the ball.
Right. But you know, it's different when you're in the game. It's easy to analyze. It's different if I was on that field. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you.
That's what we want. Our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 NFL insider, Michael Irvin, joins us. All right, what you see now, I know you were pretty confident early in the year. Is Dallas seriously at this point a Super Bowl contender? Are they up there in your eyes with Green Bay and Arizona right now?
Well, the Dallas has three losses on their schedule, four total. One in the beginning of the season against the champions, and they played them to a 90-second. 90, they won that game until the last 100 seconds. And every other loss that they've had has been in the AFC. So if you see any of the teams that beat you again, you won't see them until the Super Bowl. So absolutely, they're still Super Bowl contenders. They have the best NFC record. I think going into last night, they had the most points, something like that, for all NFC teams. So, yes, right now it's win the division, it's win the conference. And Dallas certainly has the opportunity to do both of those.
Well, Mike, they got Washington twice. They got the Giants. They got Arizona and Philly. I mean, hell, they ought to go 4-1 down the stretch. And look, they need to be 4. Everybody keeps talking about how healthy they are. I mean, ultimately, yeah, they need to get healthy, but they need to get to firing on all cylinders. Four of the last five games have been well below expectations, and I don't care about injuries. Just big picture, 30,000-foot view. Four of the last five games have been unacceptable. They got to use these last five to not only get healthy but get clicking now.
And that's what I talked about last night. You know, when we played, we had the last stretch four. You know, when you come to the last quarter of the season, and when you turn through week 12 and go to week 13, you got four games left. Jimmy Johnson used to tell us, well, we worked hard for this. We've worked hard. We got 1 month left in the season. Any man on this team should be willing to hang by his for the last month. But what we're trying to get done, I heard that speech every year of my life from Jimmy Johnson when we went into the last month. That was so in our locker room, we call it, we're into that stretch four. That means anybody, you got to hang by your to get ready for the stretch four. Now it's a stretch five because we got 17-game season, you know, 18 weeks. So now you go into that last stretch five, and you're absolutely right. The Cowboys want to get to a place. Everybody wants to get to a place right now as they go in this last stretch five that they're prepared for the rest of the season. And that's why I told Dak, you need some good feelings. You need the locker room to get back to where it was because you want to end it like you started it on that kind of a role. So let's work on the locker room and work on it. You know what it's like. Was like when you lose games, it's like it's a morgue around the locker room. Yeah. Everybody's quiet. Everybody's on needles. All that's seeping in the locker room is doubt and questions about the play. When you get a win, you still have the same problems, but it's just looked at a different way. It's with a different perspective. And I was just making sure that they understand that. And you need those. You want to get the great play back and then get the great feeling back. I say sometimes you get the great feeling back and then the great play will come.
Well, Michael Irvin is speaking of the morgue here in Houston. That's what they're going by most weeks this year, being 2-9. And I'm curious from this, not as much on the field, but I know Ryan Clark, he had a lot to say about this Justin Reed situation. Justin Reed, arguably this team's best defensive player, a guy who has never had any issues in his career. He was disciplined and set down Sunday, and it's been thought that it was a disagreement that he had with head coach David Culley that cost him being able to play in the game, a winnable game for them against the Jets. Just your thoughts on that whole scenario and situation.
Well, listen. I was at one point made to take forced to take a vacation, a little time off. Let's call it like that. You know what I mean? A little time off. I've been forced to take a little time off. And I remember when the NFL sent me the letter to take that time off. They said because you enjoy such a great position playing for such a high profile team, that we have to give you that extra game. So I got a five game break over the 4-game break. Let me tell you something, man. No man wants to be forced to take a break from, you know what I'm saying, from that. And I was thinking about that the other day because I forgot the defense player they just suspended from the Cowboys for swinging and taking a punch. And I was thinking, like, wow. Like LeBron hit somebody and got one game in the NBA. It's one game out of all the games they play is nothing. Guy in football, he swung and hit somebody and got three games. Three games in the NFL is the world. You know, it's just such a hell of a difference there. But you never happen when someone forced you to take a break or you're suspended for reasons. Outside, like you're just suspended for other reasons.
Yeah, Mike, regardless of why he got suspended, right? I mean, taking 1 of 16 or I guess 1 of 17 away is a pretty severe punishment.
Huge.
Yeah.
Right. Compared to that, and I'm watching what happened with LeBron. I'm like, oh, this has been him one game for that. You know, it is huge in this league for a game here, two games there, compared to that one game they got.
Hey, be careful, Mike. Be careful. My co-host over here, he's a big LeBron guy now. He's over there.
Yeah,
he's
me up. Too. Me too. Me
they
too.
Got it straight.
Me too.
He's back on the floor tonight. They got it straight.
Right. I love LeBron. I know he popped right back and popped back in. And you know, just the man that he is, the icon he is. And I understand it. And I applaud LeBron because I watch it all the time. I don't know how he stays so calm with everybody coming after him like that. So I just bring him up as an example.
Yeah. Michael Irvin, before we get you out of here, man, I got to get it. What'd you think about that AB situation? Antonio Brown suspended for three games now with the fake vaccination card. I just got to get your thoughts on this.
I don't know. This is a hard one for me right here. You know, because, and guys, let me just be frank. I've been on record. Saying any team that's not totally vaccinated is not really trying to win a championship. And everybody tore me up. I mean, I got people on my social media, you Uncle Tom Joker, you black white guy. Like, what does this got to do with a black and white thing? You know what I'm saying? Why you believe what these people are saying? I said, man, listen, I ain't believing nothing. I'm not a politician. I don't know anything about a right wing. I don't know anything about a left wing. I'm only talking from a perspective of winning the ring. That's it. Don't make me a politician. I'm a football player. I'm not a politician. I don't know nothing about that. What we trying to do is win a ring. Like you don't think Amari Cooper? Amari Cooper, if he had been vaccinated and maybe missed one game instead of two, could have helped the Cowboys in one of those one games. We just talked about how important one game is in the National Football League. So that just all of that, that just blows my mind. That they got, and then, AB, you guys, well, it's our choice. It is your choice. It is your choice. Either do it or don't do it. But if it's your choice and you don't really have to do it, why lie and say you did it? Aaron Rodgers, Antonio Brown, all of it, everybody. Just either do it or don't do it, but let's not try to deceive people about doing it.
Hey, Mike, here's the deal. Most of us, and I'm going to include my listeners in that as well, most of us can't relate to having a private chef. But I'm sure you've had a chef in your time. Every time AB gets in trouble, there's some kind of non-payment to a chef. How come he don't pay for his damn food?
Blows my mind. not this. And I said this when it went down, and this is one of the things I have learned the hard way. It is much better, and it's usually much more cost-efficient when you just pay it on the front end, the pay it on the back end. AB should have gave up the $10,000 that he owed because it ended up costing him a couple hundred thousand. Just pay it on the front end.
Yeah, he wasn't thinking that, though.
Right. But and if you're going to have a problem, don't have a problem with the dude that you owe money and you've already told him about your darn schemes. How could you owe the dude money, tell him about your schemes, and then tell him you're not going to pay him, knowing he's going to reveal all of your dirty schemes? It's just the craziest thing in the world.
Mike, I said yesterday, I don't know if there's anybody in NFL history who has flushed more money down the toilet than Antonio Brown. He is one of the greatest of all time at doing it, man. I thank you so much for taking the time for chatting with us, man.
He would still be making 20-some million dollars a year had he not done all the things that he's done. For the last 4 or 5 years, he'd have been making another $20-some million a year. So you're right. There's a lot of money that went down that toilet with the doo-doo.
All right. With that, on that note, down the toilet with the doo-doo. Mike, we're going to let you get on, man.
Right. That's a lot of money. Yeah, a lot of money. Down that toilet. Right on down that toilet.
All right, Mike, man. Enjoy this weekend, man. And we'll talk to you on the other side.
All right, man. And guys, I'm sorry my voice is gone because, you know, I did run down Bourbon Street with everybody last night, all those Cowboy fans, and I was just yelling, how about those guys? And I said to myself, dude, you got to do some shows tomorrow and Sunday. You need to get off these streets. Hollywood, yeah. Like everybody would, they would all put the camera up, and everybody was like, I said, everybody. Look, I had some adult beverages by that time. Right. Everybody, look in the camera and tell Steven, how propped up Cowboy. And right in the middle of it, I felt my voice. I said, oh, you better stop. You got to work this weekend. Right. It was so funny, man. I got to try to get my voice back here. All right, guys. I appreciate you.
All right, man. That's our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 NFL Insider, Michael Irvin. Insider calls are sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
Oh, my.
2021 Pro Football Pick. Shut up. I got to read this. Turn your football picks into $10,000. Enter now by texting picks to 20357. That's picks to 20357. My goodness alive, Mike. God, boy, he was, I mean, what? What do you think he had to drink last night?
I bet it was. I was going to ask him. Well, what time did you tell Jerry goodbye?
You ain't lying. Talking about he is over there. Mike still got to be told to get up out them streets. Damn, Mike. All right, John McClain, the general, comes on with us. It's Friday. The entire 4 o'clock hour. Listen, nobody is more connected. We'll see if he's got more on this Justin Reed situation. John McClain coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.